From VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report. Congressional Research Services reports that over the past 25 years, college fees rose almost 2% faster than inflation every year. This suggests that college has become expensive relative to the cost of living. At the same time, a college education is increasingly valuable. College graduates earn more money and have better career prospects than those who only have a high school degree. In the U.S., three main sources of money give revenue to colleges. They are government appropriations, gift and endowment revenue, and payments for tuitions and fees. If one source of revenue decreases, colleges often look to raise revenue in another place. When students talk about the price of college, they are usually referring to payments for tuition and fees. Both public and private schools engage in price discrimination, which means charging different prices to different students. Adam Davidson, writing in the New York Times, says that the rise of college prices is a sign of market competition in elite colleges. If colleges publish a high price, they can attract top students with financial aid. The greater the reduction in the tuition, the more likely schools may be in attracting successful students to build the school's reputation. Davidson reports that colleges often use computer programs to give a price. The price reflects a student's willingness to pay, academic record, ethnicity, and the major that they are likely to choose. While colleges publish one price, the sticker price, they really have many price points. Davidson says the price offered to students is based on how attractive the student is to the school. One problem with this, says Congressional Research Services, is that it means that college costs are not transparent. Students are not able to directly compare the cost of schools. Michael Leachman and Michael Mitchell are researchers at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. They write that the high sticker price of education may discourage poor students from applying to college. Leachman and Mitchell write that poor students, and particularly poor minority students, benefit from enrolling in selective, expensive schools. But many poor students may be unaware of the available financial aid. They are only aware of the sticker price. Many do not apply to colleges whose sticker price seems too high. In general, states cut funding to higher education during economic recessions. The recession of 2007 through 2009 was no different. States collected less tax money and appropriated less money for higher education. In the U.S., states provide around 53% of the revenue used to support state schools. When states appropriate less per student, schools raise fees to pay expenses. Schools also cut other costs, such as the amount of financial aid given to students. Michael Mitchell, an expert at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, says,
"One way that state schools have been looking to try and make up the difference is by actually offering smaller scholarship packages or smaller grant packages to wealthier students, students that can actually pay the rest of that tuition price, and moving away from larger grant packages to low-income students."
Even if a student receives a scholarship or grant, they may still need to borrow money to pay for school. Student debt has become the largest source of household debt in the United States. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York estimates that student loans grew to almost $1.2 trillion in 2014. many students cannot pay back the money they borrowed. They default on their loans. The U.S. Department of Education says that of the 4.7 million students who started repaying their student loans in 2011, almost 650,000, or 13.7%, defaulted before the end of 2013. Some, such as the candidates for the Harvard Board of Overseers, suggest making endowments pay for college costs. Harvard, for example, has an endowment that is worth around $35.9 billion. The University of Texas system, a public school system, has an endowment worth around $25.4 billion. Endowments are investment funds maintained for the benefit of a college. However, donors may restrict how schools spend their endowment money. Congressional Research Services says that almost 40% of permanent endowment money is donor-restricted. Jeff Neal, a spokesperson for Harvard, said that endowments are not like bank accounts, where money is easily deposited or withdrawn. Mitchell, at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, says that many schools have small endowments or have no endowments at all. Those schools cannot use their endowment to pay expenses in an emergency.
It's only a very small segment that can really look at endowment as a viable kind of safety net in that regard.
From VOA Learning English, I'm John Russell.